I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saints want you to black out the dome tonight. Wear black if you're going. You'll get a Drew Brees-themed rally towel. Last week, the story was the Ratla. This week, the story is the injuries, although it was last week as well. Mike Dettillier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, to discuss the game. How you doing, Mike?
I'm fine, Tommy. Thank you.
Mike, let me say this. And look, I know, you know, people say it happens in the NFL. Everybody's got injuries. It's no excuse or anything else. And before people start talking about regime change at the Saints and all this kind of stuff, I mean, how can you say that, and I'm looking at the injury report here, do you think Taysom Hill's going to play tonight?
No.
I don't think he is either. I think they're just playing games by saying he's doubtful. Do you think Pete Werner's going to play tonight? He's out. No, beg your pardon. Lucas Patrick, do you think he's going to play? No. I don't think.
I would say probably not.
All right, Derek Carr is listed as doubtful. Do you think he's going to play?
No.
No. So it's the Ratla. So here's my point. And Kalen Saunders is out with a back injury. Here's what I'm trying to say, and I'm not making excuses. But you can't tell me Chris Olave out with a concussion. Rashid Shaheed, knee, out. You can't tell me that Taysom Hill is a valuable member of the Saints team and a game changer, and that you're not going to miss him, and that you can't say that that is a key injury and it is going to affect what happens. You can't say Rashid Shaheed, his absence is going to hurt. You can't say that Chris Olave being hurt is not going to hurt. Cesar Ruiz, keep going. You understand what I'm saying? This team has been hit, and I'm not making excuses, but it's only fair to say that this team has been hit hard with injuries.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The only problem with that is, in this profession, the NFL is, was that old country song, here's a quarter.
No, I understand
someone
that.
Who cares.
Yeah, I get all of that.
Nobody, it doesn't matter, you know, to your opponent. And so you have to play with who you kind of have left on the roster. Is there been hit hard with injuries? No question. And there are other injuries that have hit other teams hard in the NFL. But and it's part of it that everybody kind of goes through this one time or another during a season where you really kind of really hit hard with the injuries. This is, though, the big thing with me. When you set teams up in the offseason, mm-hmm. you're trying to prepare for events or an event that you're going to get hit hard with injuries. This is what you think of from February all the way through to August, how you set up your football team. And it's something I've heard coaches, GMs talk about constantly, that trying to prepare for worst-case scenario. And I think it kind of puts the emphasis on what has been a major flaw on this football team, their inability to kind of develop the young players that they have. And, you know, Deuce and I talked about this quite a bit during the offseason, that you've got a group of young players you hope can step up if called upon. Hasn't happened, Tommy. They've had opportunities and haven't been able to. And it's these type scenarios that you would see it. So it's difficult anytime you have injuries for any team to try to fight through it. And when you got a bunch of them, it makes it really difficult. But this is what you think about all off season, having events that you're not going to have certain people in, and this is who we got to call upon, and you got to develop young guys, because you're not going to have a roster full of guys that have played in the NFL. It's too costly with the salary cap world. Got to have young players step up, Tom. It just hasn't happened.
So let me ask you this. Couple of questions. First of all, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, they were relatively lucky with injuries that year, were they not?
They were very lucky, and especially late, because that becomes the key, too. They had some earlier in the year but they were able to overcome it. Late in the season, they were really lucky injury-wise. We had Dr. David Elias on, and Dave was talking, because I asked him yesterday about injuries, and, you know, there's a number of different theories of why you see much more this year than any other year. But he said, you know, like, there is that certain element of luck.
And any team, I'm sure there might have been a team in the history of the NFL or a couple that have, you know, overcome a bunch of injuries and gone on to do well in the playoffs. But generally speaking, the teams that do well in the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl and win have to remain relatively healthy throughout the season. Accurate?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I know that's a Jimmy Johnson in his new book. He wrote that about he felt that wasn't the number one key, but it was the number two key of being able to stay healthy throughout a season. And he said, you know, hey, listen, you might have a season where you're not particularly lucky with injuries and you get hit around, but it's why you kind of set everything up in the off season to try to prevent that Mount Everest drop off in play when sometimes it happens to teams. And so it's part of the game. You have to accept it at this stage. But I think you can travel this back to, you've got some young players on this team that have not taken that step.
All right, let's talk about those players when we come back. I also want to talk about the prevalence of injuries. It seems like they got a lot more than they used to in the NFL. I don't know if it's the CBA. I don't know if it's the way it's structured. I don't know if it's drafting. I know the Saints drafted, who's the running back that can't get on the field? DeMondre Miller?
Kendra Miller.
He can't get healthy. He was hurt when we drafted him, right? Or coming off an injury. Kool-Aid McKinstry was hurt, was he not, when he played,
correct.
Understand.
He had just come off a foot injury.
Right, okay. So we'll talk about all that when we come back, too. And maybe with the transfer portal and name, image, likeness, maybe players and college players are more prone to injury than before. I don't know. We'll pick it up with Mike Dettelier when we come back. If you got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. But I will say it again. If you're going to the game tonight, this is when the Saints need you. They're down and out and hurting. And it's easy to jump on a bandwagon and scream and holler and shout when they're undefeated, but now's the time they really need you to back them. 821 traffic now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Dettelier, looking ahead to the Saints-Denver game tonight, to the return of Sean Payton. We're going to break down lineups when we come back in the next half hour. But, Mike, you talked about talking to Dr. David Elias about injuries and I guess, did he give some reasons as to why there might be more injuries in the NFL? Is it the CBA? Is it the lack of practice, tackling, whatever?
No, I brought it up to him about the CBA part, and he said that could be a part of it. He brought up maybe years ago, a lot of injuries were blamed on the turf, but now this new turf that they play on today, you know, it's almost like playing on grass, even when it's, you know, kind of artificial. Mm-hmm. So, man, there's a lot of different thoughts there about how the CBA, and I know they're trying to protect players, but in the long run, are you doing the right thing here? Mm-hmm. I mean, you rarely can see a padded practice. You know, most of it is in shells. It's kind of like, as I've always talked about, pajamas and slippers,
right,
that you sort of walk through. I don't know how you get your body ready to play this sport without a lot of hitting going on.
How many times have you heard the phrase football shape, right? You're not in football shape?
Right. That's the difference between you being in really good shape physically and being in football shape. Your body's not used to getting hit or being in like in a three-car collision every play. Mm-hmm. And so when you're not used to it, I think, you know, the body has certain elements to it that's going to break down.
And you know what, Mike?
You are starting to see it.
I think, too, it goes to reaction time and reflexes and everything else, where when you're in live action, not to be confused with the military, I know there's a big difference, but when you're actually hitting in practice, maybe your body develops some defense mechanisms, some reflexes, et cetera, so that you can protect yourself more when you're on the field during a game than you can in slippers and pajamas, right?
Yeah, and that's something, you know, Doc had brought up, that I think he said there's something to that, that element that, you know, we had talked about yesterday about that defense mechanism. And, you know, the other part about it, too, is years ago, you would go to training camp to get in shape. Mm-hmm. Today, you in shape to practice, okay? Because the guys are in shape. Now, every once in a while, you might have somebody coming off of an injury, or maybe they're a little bit heavier than they should. But, you know, they want you to hit the ground running. We call a play, that's what you do. It's not about practice of how to do it. And I think the other element, too, is the coaching part. And I do really do believe that. I know this sounds sort of old school, but you've got coaches that some of them say, hey, listen, they're not teaching good technique or good fundamental work. And that part of it also could lead to some injuries. But, Tommy, I am convinced that the CBA deal of them, this non-padded type practices, is leading to more and more injuries in the thought process that it would lead to less and what eventually is going to be an 18-game season.
Right
around the corner.
I got an alternative theory I'll present when we come back, and it revolves around, believe it or not, Saints former backup quarterback Larry Sippa. Y'all can Google that if you don't remember him. 8:30, more with Mike to tell you when we come back. Time now, WWL First News. 8:44, 16 till 9. Quickly back to Mike Dettelier. Mike, Larry Sippa, quarterback for the Saints back in the day. I was a kid in high school busting tires. I worked with him at Firestone because in the offseason, these guys had to get a job, right? Well,
yep.
That ain't the case now. Now they have their own trainers. They have their own conditioning programs, offseason workouts, which brings us back to injuries and makes me think about the physics of bigger, faster, stronger. You think that plays a part in this?
There's no question about it. Again, had this conversation back in the summer. Pete Jenkins has his Louisiana line camp here, and there are probably a dozen NFL coaches that come down to work that camp. And you know, Pete would laugh because we did a remote at Nicholls State, you know, and you've got them like I get them. Football is football, guys. I just played high school ball. It's the same as no, it's not.
No.
And Pete laughed when he saw the comment. He was like, "Tell that guy, you get hit once by a 6'5", 310-pound man that can bench press 450 pounds and can run 40 yards in less than 5 seconds
and squat about 800
once.
Yeah,
and once, but he said." Do it every play and see how it feels. That ain't high school football no more. And he said there is a certain part of physics that you are going to eventually break down somewhere along the line with that type hitting and that type force. And that, I think, Tommy, also has some play. If it would just be one thing, you could fix it, but it's not. And this is a brutal game. Anybody who saw the Cowboys-Lions game, and you saw Aiden Hutchinson go down with two breaks in his leg, that goes to show the brutality
horrific.
Of this sport.
Horrific.
And so you understand if you get hit once by a guy like that is one thing. Get hit every play by somebody that size and see how it feels. So I don't know how you could get your body used to that shock if you don't do it in practice much.
Mm-hmm. Let me move on to the Broncos here. I remember talking to longtime Berman coach, Emin Michelle, about Patrick Surtain, the original, when he had him at Carr years ago. Now we're on Patrick Surtain 2. He's likely to play or not? No, he's out with a concussion.
No, Yeah, he had a concussion. So like Olave, in a short week, I don't remember a guy having a concussion on a Sunday, and then he plays on a Thursday game. But, man, the original Patrick Surtain, man, he was some type of player. Man, had a double-digit career in the NFL, went to Southern Miss after he left Ethan Carr, and then he's into coaching now. And then now the son, and Patrick Surtain's one of the best cover cornerbacks in the National Football League. That's a big loss for them at corner, but you sort of balance the scales, no Olave, and then the news yesterday with Rashid Shaheed.
How badly, and I'm going to get to the Sean Payton offense in a minute, but what do we do at receiver? How badly, you don't have Taysom Hill at tight end if he would or play tight end at that particular play, but what do we got at receiver? What do we got left?
You got the veteran in Cedric Wilson, Mason Tipton, the rookie from Yale, Bub Means, the draft choice from Pittsburgh. You could elevate, Kevin Austin, who's been on your practice squad, who played in the UFL, and he was a former Notre Dame guy. Man, you short-sheeted at receiver this week. So that tells me Alvin Kamara is going to touch the football quite a bit tonight, and hopefully we'll get a better look. We got to get a better look because we haven't seen anything of him, of Kendra Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have to use your tight ends if it's Foster Morrow, with Juwan Johnson. You're going to have to use those guys more. It sort of like reminds me of that COVID game that they played on a Monday night that you had so many guys out. So you just, you got to do the best you can with what you got right now.
They had a problem with Denver years ago, too. Didn't we run out of, who was playing quarterback? Or Denver ran out of quarterbacks, right?
They ran out of quarterbacks, and they played a young man who had not played quarterback since he was a redshirt freshman in college. He was a wide receiver.
All right, let's talk about Sean Payton and his Denver Bronco offense and Bo Nix and Javonte Williams, et cetera. Adam Troutman, former Saints tight end, starting for the Broncos. It's almost like the Saints West, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, he's collected a lot of Saints players, especially on the offensive side of the football. Little Jordan Humphrey. So A.T. Perry, he's collected them. Their offense, we had Mark Schlereff on. I said, Mark, how good is the Broncos' offense? To me, it doesn't look very good at all. And he would say, I would be kind to say they're middle of the road, but they're not even that. They are developing offense. Their offensive line has not played very well this year. They've been disappointing because Sean thought that would be the strength of the Broncos' team, would be their offensive line. It has not been. They haven't been able to run the football effectively. When you're playing a young quarterback in Bo Nix, you go through the ups and downs. We saw it last week. Same thing with Spencer Rattler. You kind of go through a roller coaster with it. Watch his escapability. That is something that's underrated in Bo Nix. And Saints have had issues with quarterbacks that can run around and get up the field. And I remember Bo Nix playing LSU one time, and he made about five plays just running around and getting away from the defensive lineman. One of the defensive linemen was Mason Smith, who lives not far from where I grew up. And when I asked somebody, he said, I had him three times, dead to right, and he got away from me. That is something you're going to have to watch tonight. You're going to see a lot of Davonte Williams. He is kind of a middle-range version of Alvin Kamara as a runner receiver. That's kind of the guy, and their top receiver is Courtland Sutton. So that tells you about their offense. Their defense, front seven, very good. Excellent safety play. You're not as good at corner without Surtain. He was a tilt-the-field player, and he took away one side. So you got to attack that area where Surtain would have been. But their defense has really saved their bacon, really has. Their front seven is young, aggressive, and fast to the football.
How about their defense without Patrick Surtain? I know, but
the front seven is good, and the safety play has been good despite losing Justin Simmons. man, not attack their corners. Just because you don't have your best defensive player out there tonight. Can the Saints do that, though, with the receiving core that they have? So you're going to have to roll Rattler out and kind of cut the field off of him, designated throws. That's what he was effective last week with in the second quarter against the Broncos. Now, I mean, Tampa. What Tampa did was shoot people, kind of overload the front and try to get pressure on him. If you could run the football, you run the football on fronts like that, because all they worried about doing is getting in the backfield to try to make a sack. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you can't run the ball, you got some difficulties. That's going to be the key for the Saints tonight. They have to give Rattler kind of a running game to at least take all that pressure off of him.
Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, former Shaw player,
yep.
So another West Bank connection. One thing I'm concerned with tonight is Sean Payton and his trickeration on offense. What do you think?
Well, he tricks you because he knows he doesn't have the talent that could beat you play in, play out. So he was like that with the Saints at times. He liked a lot of these trick plays and try to hit a big play off of it. In a short week, how much of that you're able to put in remains to be seen. And the kid quarterback, I mean, both of them are going to make mistakes. Nix is going to make it. Rattler's going to make it. Who doesn't make the mistakes? I think that's the other part of it, because Bo has a tendency. He thinks he can put a football anywhere out on the field. And him and Sean have jawed about it. I mean, you've seen the cuts of him and Peyton on the sidelines, going at it a little bit, and I get it. And I'll be honest, I think Coach Peyton likes that. He likes the quarterback that's going to talk back to him and tell him, this is what I saw, this is what you said, but this is what I saw out on the field.
You know,
so you got to stay away from the turnovers, and you got to get them.
What amazes me is, like, you see Garrett Nussmeier and Brian Kelly be talking to him, and a quarterback just walks away. I can't imagine doing that with a head coach, but I guess it happens, huh, Mike?
Yeah, Joe Burrow was like that with Coach O. That's a much longer story for another day. But Joe would kind of, okay, yeah, I heard it before.
Yeah. Garrett Nussmeier does that with Coach Kelly, same thing.
Yeah, and that drove Coach O up the wall. That Burrow wouldn't talk back to him at times.
Man, you got some stones if you turn your back on a head coach while he's talking to you and walk away. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. We'll
Thank
talk
you,
to
brother.
You later. All right, we'll take a break. 8:55 traffic now, WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser-told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.